Thank God. Let's go over to 2 Timothy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Second Timothy 2:1. Everybody there? It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. We've been talking about condemnation and what it can do to you. Now, we've read scripture along that line. We just touched on it a little bit in communion. The Bible says Paul was exhorting Timothy to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Everything, grace is such a big word. All that God does for us is grace. His help, He gives gifts, His favor, everything. We were born again by grace through faith. It says in Ephesians, everything that we receive from God is by grace through faith. And Paul is exhorting Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Go back to first chapter of Timothy, 2 Timothy. Verse 3, it says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And then he goes through some other things and he gets to this point. He says, "Therefore, you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We need to remind ourselves, just like we were saying some in the communion time, but we need to remind ourselves of what is in us, what has been given to us. We need to stir ourselves up along those lines, and we need to be strong in it all the time. You can't get too knowledgeable and forget this. You just get so far that then you're not relying on what has been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. All that He is in us, to us, for us. What God has given us. We need to stir that up sometimes, because sometimes if you walk by feelings and you walk by sight and you've blown it in a few areas, that condemnation will try to get at you. But we need, in spite of that, to stir up what is in us and be strong in what we are through Him. And go back to that. And go back to that. Communion is one way. And you can take communion 3 times a day if you want. But that's not the only way. We need to remind ourselves when we're in the middle of whatever else is going on, you need to be able to come back and stir yourself up in the middle of anything and remind yourself of what Jesus has done, what He is to you, and that His grace is sufficient for you to make it through anything. Amen. Anybody ever read after the Apostle Paul and what he did and what he faced at times? But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Didn't He? My grace is sufficient for you. He's talking about persecution. There. But when we are facing things in life, we need to know to rely on Him. If God's grace was sufficient for the Apostle Paul, His grace is sufficient for us. And we need to be strong in that and rely on that and pull from it when we're facing something. That's when we need to go to God. Don't try to be strong in and of yourself. Like, well, I know this, I ought to be strong. If you're feeling weak, then you need to go to Him and say, Lord, I'm feeling weak. I know what the Word says, but I'm going to look to You right now and I'm going to draw on it right now. You need to actively draw on it. Don't get in this mentality. Well, I know that. I know the Word, and so therefore I know it, so I should just, you know, in myself stir it up and I just should just be strong right now. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to believe the Word. You can do that in the flesh. Did you know that? You can be quoting scriptures left and right, and there's nothing behind it because you're doing it in your flesh. You're trying to work a system. You're not relying on Him. You're not truly drawing on the grace and the strength that is there. It's almost like it's just completely in your head that I know this. I know what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm just going to mechanically go through it, but there is something else going on in your heart the whole time that is not connected at all. It's like nagging you. It's over here going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And over here you're like, I'm going to believe God and I'm going to quote these scriptures, but they're not connected at all. You know that doesn't work? It doesn't work that way. Faith without works is dead, but works without faith is just as dead. You can say, well, I have faith, but you don't do anything to prove it. But you can say, I'm doing all this stuff, but you don't really have any faith. What's faith based on? What Jesus has done. What He has done. And don't get into this mode that I'm too far. I'm far enough, so, you know, I'm feeling weak. I really shouldn't be weak right now. You can feel bad because you're being tempted. You're feeling like you're being stretched, and instead of going to God and saying, God, I'm being stretched right now. I need Your help. I'm going to draw on You, and looking at Him as the one that you can draw from and He can strengthen you right now, it's almost like that's baby stuff. I'm past that. So I just got to get into faith mode and start quoting the scriptures. It just happened. But the fact is, your heart isn't there. You're doing it as if that's what I'm supposed to do and that's what I have to do, almost apart from God. Well, God, I got this. I know I'm going through this, but I shouldn't feel bad. I shouldn't feel any temptation at all. I feel bad, so I'm not really going to go to You. I'm going to go and just start quoting scriptures because that's what I know I'm supposed to do. And you're apart from Him. Do you see this at all? Is your heart getting it? Because we can do this. You've heard the Word. You know, you've heard Scriptures. But Scriptures have to be alive to you in your heart to act on them. Do you realize you can have faith one day and not have it the next day? We said this, I don't know how many weeks ago, but you know, you've heard it before. Just because you've eaten food and eating a certain type of food does not mean that food is doing you any good right now. If it was 3 weeks ago, it's not strengthening you. It's not alive in you. Well, I ate that before. Great. It's already gone through your system. Didn't the Word say that we would not live by bread alone, but by every word? See, some people get the idea, I've heard that scripture, so I know it. You knew it, but it's got to be alive to you. That's why we need to feed ourselves on the Word. And you can have faith at a certain time, and then you go to a situation and you have not been meditating on the Word, not close to Him at all, and you go and it's just all head. Well, I know what to do, and you start binding and rebuking and quoting, and there's nothing. You might as well say, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Seriously. Or whatever song you want to sing. But it's not going to do any good. Because you're not going to Him and drawing on Him. You're doing it out of head. That's called religion. This is why so much of the faith, so-called word and faith circles, charismatic, has got a bad name because people try to go off and do stupid stuff in their head and there's no faith behind it. And it doesn't work. Because they're not really drawing on Him. They're not drawing on the Lord. They're not strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus. They're trying to be strong in something that they heard a long time ago, and they know the way they're supposed to act, and they saw somebody else do something, and so I'm just going to go, and I'm going to quote, and I believe, and there's nothing there. Because they're not drawing on what is true now and what God has done. It's almost like I'm above that. I can't ask for help. Do you know when you need help, that's when you need to ask for help. Isn't this stupid in our businesses and whatever, and just in our society, that the time when you don't know what to do, somebody says something and something comes up at work or whatever, and the time you don't know what to do is the time everybody shuts up and act like they know what to do and won't ask anybody questions because they don't want anybody to know that they don't know what to do. And when they know what to do, that's when everybody's like, yeah, I know, and they're all, communication is freely flowing. As soon as the boss asks something and you're like, yeah, I know, I'm not going to act like I don't know because I don't want to look stupid, so you don't know it, so you're not going to ask questions when you need to ask questions because that's when you need to know. Completely opposite. I'm talking about in a dysfunctional situation. Ideally, it's open and you can say, what? I don't know what that means. You ever sat in a room where somebody is presenting on something and he says something and you have no clue what he's talking about, but if you feel like if I ask a question then I'm going to show that I don't know what he's talking about and the people around me will know that, and the fact is 15 other people don't know what he's talking about either because he brought something up that isn't common to you guys, but just because he brought it up you assume everybody knows it and you're the only one that doesn't know it, so you're going to play cool, and then somebody says, you know what, I don't know. And you're just like breathing a sigh of relief. Yeah, I don't know that either. Okay, that's good. And now you get the answer. We do this in Christian circles too. Do you hear me? I've heard that. I have umpteen tapes from 20 years ago. And now I have CDs. And then now I have just my iPod full MP3s. Oh, I've heard that. But there's something in you that's a nagging question. But we're going to act like, oh, I know that. And you, that's right when you need to know. You know you don't know because something isn't working, but I'm not going to ask questions because that would mean I don't have enough faith, and I you know, I've been in this area for years, so I know it all, and don't try to tell me anything, and that's right when you need to know. Who cares what you know if it doesn't work in life? When you have a problem, that's when we need to know what we need. We need to know what we need to know from God so we can operate in it. It doesn't matter what's in my head if I can quote umpteen scriptures. I want help. Don't you? I need to know that's going to work in my life now. I need to be strong in what He's done, not in some knowledge, and I'm not trying to impress somebody. Amen. Amen. No, we need to draw on one another, and if we don't know, we need to say, I need help. I'm not seeing something here. I need help. We need to go to God and ask for help. I know that may seem blatantly obvious, but it's so easy not to do that. To really go in this mode with God, who knows what we don't know. He's omniscient. He knows exactly where we are, and yet we'll act like, okay, God, I'm in this. I know what to do. Never mind. And we don't know what to do, and we don't even go to Him to ask Him what to do. We're going to act like we know it and start going, and He's not even told us to go on that error. If you're going on a path and He hasn't told you to go there, it can be wrong. Right. With health things, how many people will not go to the doctor because they believe it will displease the Lord and they haven't even asked Him what to do about it, and He might say you go because, yeah, ideally, you don't need a doctor. Ideally, you don't need to plant crops either because God can rain down food. Let me ask you this. When you break, or when your car breaks down, what do you do? You go where? To where? Why don't you just stop on the side of the highway and, you know, you have a cracked cylinder block or something. You know, your tire's shredded and you're on the side of the highway. What do you do then? You call a tow truck? Why don't you just sit there and pray over it and command that tire to go back together? Why don't you just tell that cylinder block to be healed? Can God do it? Is God's power, can he put everything back together? Why don't we just do that then? He can do it. Right? Because we're not limited by what he can do. We're limited by what we can believe. See, we get in this mode where I'm just going to do, I know what I'm supposed to do. That's the ideal. So that's what I'm going to do in every situation. I know what I ought to do. What is the ideal that I should, not should do, but in my mind, what I have as what a Christian would do. And if I've heard the word on healing or if I've heard the word on something, that's what I'm supposed to do. So we don't even go to ask him, what should I do and what can I believe for, where I'm at. What we're not drawing on the grace. We're not drawing on the strength. We're going by head knowledge and say, I know what to do. And we haven't asked him what to do. And he if you go to ask him, he may tell you, you need to go to the doctor. Because that's where you're at in that situation. Doctors are not bad. They're a helps ministry, a natural helps ministry to God. And there's a wacky idea that, you know, some people go way over here that they're evil. And if you go to them, you're just, you've sinned. When you would sin is if God told you not to go to the doctor and you went anyway. But so many people are assuming they should not go to the doctor and they don't go when a lot of times it's fear. I'm not going to go because I'm afraid. They won't say that. They'll act like they're in faith. They say, I'm believing. They're not believing. They're afraid of what to do. They're afraid to go to the doctor. We ought to do what God told us to do. Just do what he told us to do. If he says go, go. If he said believe, then what the word we're standing on is that he said this is going to be okay, so I'm acting on that. What happens so many times is people act on something that isn't truly based on him. It's based on something they heard and the idea that they had. So they're going, they're quoting, binding, you know, rebuking, doesn't work. People say, well, why didn't that work? Look, sounded good. Doesn't matter if it sounds good. Amen. Amen. No, we got to draw on him. Draw on the strength that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace and strength. When we need help, we need to go to him and say, Lord, I need help right now. What do I do? Help me. Help me to walk and to draw on you right now. I'm drawing on you. Your grace is sufficient in this situation. Help me. And I'm going to choose to walk in the peace and the grace that's in you. I'm going to choose to walk in the strength. See, that's pulling on him, drawing on him. That's stirring up what we have inside of us. We may not feel like it, but there's a difference between just stirring it up in here and saying, well, I'm going to do that, and you looking inside and saying, I'm looking to him. I'm looking to him. He's given this to me. Lord, what do you want me to do? Put my ideas aside and draw on you. Then when he leads us and he strengthens us and guides us, then we're walking truly in his strength. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. Doesn't matter what anybody knows about it. Doesn't matter what we say to him. It's just that I've heard from the Lord and this is what I'm doing. I'm going to draw on him. I'm going to go with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 12. We referred to this earlier. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities.'" That word does not mean sicknesses. It means weakness. "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." Notice that. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When we're weak, we need to rely on Him and admit, "I don't have all the answers. I don't know. I'm looking to Him." And what does it say when we look to Him? That the strength, He said, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." So our flesh doesn't want to hear that. Are there times when you're going to feel weak in and of yourself? Yes. If you're going to walk with Him, you are. Is He doing that to you? No. We live in a fallen world. And if you follow it, did the Apostle Paul follow Him or not? Did he hear from God or not? Did he experience trials? Yes. Did he have victory? Yes. If he was as weak and sickly as some people say, he was beat and left for dead in all likelihood, and he showed up in the next town to preach the next day. If he was so weak and sickly, people that are healthy couldn't do half the stuff that he did in and of themselves. It just doesn't even make any sense. No, but even though he heard from God and walked after God, there were things that he bumped up against where he felt weak. And he went to the Lord, and God said, "I'm going to strengthen you. When you're weak, you're at your strongest point." Has anybody ever experienced that? When you don't know what to do, and see, sometimes when we just feel like we're on autopilot, and we know everything, we're not necessarily relying on Him. We can get to that place where we're not relying on Him. And then something comes up, not from the Lord. See, this is why people mess up. They make up weird doctrines then. Because something happens in their life, and because it's a trial, it's something that's pushing them, they go to God. And through it, they become closer to God because they're drawing on Him. That's right. And so they come out of it, and their relationship's stronger, so then people come to the conclusion, "Well, God must have sent that to make me stronger." No, we could have put down other things at any point in time and gone to Him and relied on Him. But sometimes we start looking at other stuff when we have all the time. We have all these things. There's not these other things that we really have to do, but we do them because there's nothing really, we don't want to put these other things down. I'm not saying they're sin or not. I'm just saying we're choosing to do certain things. And when something comes up, we're like, we put all of it down because we're going to focus on the one thing. And now because of that, we're looking to Him. We're drawing strength from Him because we don't know what to do. And so we don't have any answers in ourselves apart from the Word. And we're saying, God, I need You. I got to draw on You. And so you're drawing on something that we weren't necessarily drawing on before. And so you get things, you may get closer to Him and whatever, but He didn't send the trial. I mean, we live in a fallen world. We have an enemy. But when we're feeling weak, we need not to gird ourselves in and of ourselves, not gird ourselves up and say, well, I'm going to make it through this. Watch my faith in action, not up here. We need to go to Him and say, Lord, amen, what do I do about this? Amen. Show me. I need You. I'm going to draw on You right now. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. Lord God, give me wisdom. Lord, I look to You. You are my source. You are my God. Lord, I look to You. Not groveling, not begging, but in reverence, saying, Lord God, I need You. I need You to show me. I need Your help. Amen. Isn't that what the man that brought his son to Jesus? Yes. Jesus said, if you can believe, and he said, if you can, he said, all things are possible to him who believes. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me. Yes. Help me. Some faith people just say, well, I got this. And they're lying. I don't mean people are intentionally, trying to deceive, but it's like this pressure. I got to act like somebody I'm not. I'm not there. I need help. We never should be like that with God. He knows where we need help, and He can tell us what to do about it. So we need to draw on Him and say, God, I need it. Show me. Help me. I'm drawing on You. I'm going to pull on You. Lord, I'm going to get through this because You're going to help me. And I may feel weak, but I'm not the only one that ever felt weak. I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. I'm going to stir up the gift, as Paul told Timothy. I know You're here. I know You haven't left me or forsake me because Your Word says it, and I choose to draw on You right now. Lord, help me. Show me. And Your Word says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because I'm not. I might have looked better before, but I really wasn't trusting You. And I'm in the mode where I'm looking at every word that's coming out of Your mouth. Lord, I'm looking to You. I'm going to do what You say. I'm going to follow You. Amen. That's where we want to live our life. Amen. Not get off and like, then sometimes we get out. We've been there and we get out of that situation. It's like, whew, now I can go back to doing all this other stuff. Don't we? I mean, it's so tempting. It's like, oh, through that mess, good night. Let's go do whatever now, man. I've had enough of this. And we don't need to, I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. That's just, I mean, in the flesh and what this world system, it's so easy to get pulled off. Every one of us. But it's not God's will. His will is just for us to live right next to Him. Just. Sensitive to Him. God drawing on His strength for the little things. You're in Walmart. I tell you what, I pray about, small things that I'm purchasing. You can look at the reviews on Amazon or whatever, but you notice there's always, just depending on the product. I mean, they're all across the board every time. Some people love the thing. Some people are giving it one star. All the time. It doesn't matter how good the product is. Somebody will say, man, I don't like this thing at all. And you're going, what? So, I mean, you go by the majority, but even, you don't know. And it may be great for somebody else, but it's not great for you. You say, that's too small. That's not too small. Exercise, if you learn to follow God and to lean on Him in those little things, you got practice for the bigger things. You go, what outfit should I get? Ask God. I mean, you may want to have somebody check it out, look at you if you're married or whatever. Just look good on me. I just want to, you know, confirm this. I'm not saying get flaky about it. You don't have to stand there for 10 minutes trying to figure out what socks to put on or anything in the morning. But you, I mean, some people get out there. But, you know, you don't have to stop and ask God for everything. It's more of a just, well, what should I do on this? What should I do on this? Just to be sensitive. Cultivate a mentality of just leaning on Him. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Just be strong and just, you're developed in it. You're just leaning on Him. And I know I'm not in this thing alone. I don't want to be on this thing alone. I don't want it to be all about me. Lord, I'm just going to lean on You. All the time, I'm just going to lean on, I'm going to draw on the strength that's in You. All the time. And we get practice doing that. Then something comes up and we're like, okay, You got this. What do I do? I'm drawing on You right now. I don't have the answers. I don't have to. He is good. His mercy endures forever. He's not looking. Sometimes you feel like, well, I ought to know better. See, that'll just keep you messed up. You won't want to go to Him. Well, I know better. You know, the Bible says over in James 1:5, it says to ask for wisdom.
Right.
If you need wisdom, to ask for it, and He'll give to you liberally. Ask God for wisdom, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to Him. That means He's not looking at you going, what? You're back again? You haven't got this figured out. Really? He doesn't do that. No, the Bible says He resists who? The proud. But He gives grace to the humble. You know what it means to be humble? That means you act like low down. It means you know where you're at. Somebody that's humble could say, you know, I'm good at this. Not think, well, I can't say that. I'm not saying you boast. If somebody asked you a question, if your boss asked you a question, can you do this? Well, I can't just do anything. That'd be dumb. In an interview? Well, can you do any of this stuff? No. Why are you here? People say, oh, I don't want to be proud. That's not being proud. If you're humble and you know how to do something, you ought to say, yeah, I can do that. I had 10 years of experience on that. I'm good. I can do that. Well, they may want you to back that up if they're going to hire you at a certain salary, right? But they hired you because they believed you. We've seen people like that at work. You know, they advertise themselves as being good at something, and then they come on. It's like, well, just had somebody in a different group brought this person on, and they were gone within the first week because it's like they said they could do all this, and they couldn't do any of it. That didn't do you any good either. But we're not going to fool Him. We don't need to act like we know everything. And we don't have to come to the Almighty like, well, I just don't know anything. He knows that. It doesn't matter how much you know. It's nothing. I mean, think about the scale for what He knows. I mean, this is not even to scale because it's just, you can't even put it into words. But if that ceiling is what He knows, you can't, yours is like in the threads of the carpet. And the people that know more than us are like a little higher up in the threads of the carpet. So you look at it and go, I can't see any difference. We all know zilch compared to Him.
That's right.
So when you go and say, I need your help, He's not going, oh, you're going to ask me that question. It's like you all, none of us know anything relative to Him. And the ones when we think we know is when we probably don't know.
That's right.
So it's not bad to go to Him and say, Lord, I don't know. It's not bad to go to your spouse or somebody that you trust. I'm not saying broadcast it, well, who don't know. I mean, go to people you trust and say, help me. Pray with me. I'm having trouble here. That's what the body of Christ is for. I mean, why do we come together and then we all act like we all have it together? We all know everything. I'm not saying you act like you don't have anything together either. That's the opposite. People go, well, we're all just completely messed up. We shouldn't stay there. Really? I mean, so we don't know anything here. Well, relative to God, we don't know anything, but we don't want to stay where we're just bumbling around all the time in life. We want to progress with Him, right? So we don't have to broadcast, well, I just don't know anything. No, that creates a feeling of condemnation and just, you know, low self-esteem. But we ought to know that when we don't know, we can say we don't know and not feel like dirt because of it. It's okay. because none of us know it all. It's okay to ask for help from God, to draw on Him when you're not feeling it. You're not feeling your best. Lord, help me. And then believe that He's going to help you and strengthen you and get up and go on and draw on what He has said He would give you. Amen. If we've asked Him, then believe that He's given it to us.
That's right.
Don't stay there. Don't keep saying, well, I just don't know. When are you going to answer? When are you going to answer? No, we have to come to Him in faith.
Yep.
Believe. We come to Him. I don't know what to do about this, but I do know one thing. You have the answer. I do know another thing. Why don't you just, I know this is a familiar voice, verse of Scripture, but turn over to James 1:5 anyway. Because
yeah.
We need to see it now. Let's lay our hands on, or eyes on it and look at it. Don't go by what the memory of what you have in your head.
Amen.
Draw on His strength and His grace. I know this is simple today. Sometimes we just need to go back and just run the basic drills and go back and say, all right, let's go through this again.
Amen.
Telling you what, it's so easy to get off to where we're not just doing the very thing we should and not going to the Almighty and drawing on what we need to.
Amen.
That is powerful when you do that. James 1:5. It says, well, let's go to verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. That means He just dumps it on you and He doesn't have a bad attitude or look at you sideways when He's doing it.
Amen.
This is what, and this is a characteristic of God. If you look at it, it said, let him ask of God. You could put in parentheses like, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It's like a characteristic of Him. This is who He is. It says, and it will be given to him. He said, verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and stable in all his ways. But he said, go to God when you need it and you don't know and you need help. Go to Him and say, God, we don't know. Help. Help us. Give us your wisdom. And He said, it will be given. But He said, come in faith with no doubting. That means, that simply means, that doesn't mean just work something up and like come to Him with your chest puffed up. It means go to Him and believe that He's going to do what He said. That's all it is. Trusting Him. Saying, I need help. You said if I need it, come and ask for it. And if I ask for it, you'd give it to me. So I'm coming for help. And I believe that when I take from you, you're going to give it and I'm going to have it. That's all it is.
Amen.
That's all it is. I believe that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. That's all it is. When you go to the mechanic to drop off your car and he tells you, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and here's what's going to happen and then I'm going to give you back your car. And if he's a good mechanic and he's reputable and he's done, you have trust in him, then you know you're going to come back on Wednesday or whenever he told you to pick it up, your car is going to be working, you're going to pay this amount, and you're going to go out. That's all it is. That's an act of faith. You didn't work anything up. You just said, okay, you said that. I'll see you Wednesday at 5 o'clock. That's all it is. So God says, I need help. I need wisdom in this case, but this is generally. He said, come and ask for it. And he said, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
He said, I'll dump it on you. And I'm not going to look at you bad when you're doing it. In fact, that pleases him because faith pleases him. You come to him and say, I need your help. And he gives grace to the humble. You need help and you admit it, he's going to give you grace. What is that? Help? All you need? What you need from him? We said draw on the grace that's in him, that's in Christ Jesus. So we're going to draw on that strength, grace. You need it. Say, Lord, I need your help. And I believe you're going to give it to me. So Lord, help me. And I believe you're giving it to me right now. And just now that you just start thanking him for it. Say, I got it. Lord, I thank you for strengthening me. And you praise him. And you acknowledge him. And you draw on him. And you believe he's strengthened you. And you believe he's yielding or strengthening you and building you up. And then you walk forward and you draw on that. And by doing that, you'll get what you need. But when we see this, watch this. This is what people do. Something comes into their life and they've had some teaching and they go, okay, well, I rebuke and bind, and they just start, they skip that whole part. Well, in the name of Jesus, they haven't gone to him. Well, I'm healed, and they haven't gone to him. Do you see this? They're not asking him. They're not saying, Lord, I'm going to, what do I do here? It's just like, well, I know what to do, and go off. It's all out of here. Well, I know what to do. What about leaning on him? What about drawing on him? No, we want to know what he told us to do so then we can act in faith on what he said. Not assume. Not just go off. No, just and not feel like we have to do that. Like, well, if I ask, I'm just behind and I should know. No, to come and know he's our Father. He's the Almighty. He already knows. To go and say, Lord, I need your help. Not in groveling tones, but just, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm being tempted right now. Help me. Help me to resist it. Show me. Lord, I'm being tempted to get depressed. I'm tempted to yield right now. Lord, I'm having thoughts that I know are going to bring me down the wrong path. Lord, help me. Strengthen me. I'll look to you right now.
That's good.
He'll do it. That's good. Everything, any area. Well, I'm being tempted to do something else I should. I'm being tempted to watch this thing and put it on. I don't want to. But so you don't have to go into all that. You just say, Lord, I'm being tempted. Help me. He will. So we think we shouldn't ask him because that would mean he knows that I really want to watch that and I'm trying not to. We are so silly sometimes. If I act, you know, I really, really want to do that, but I know I'm not supposed to. I'm not going to tell God that I really want to do that because he'll know and then I'll feel bad. It's just religion. It's just stupid. No, I'm feeling like I ought to. You feel like you just want to let somebody, you want to go off on them. Verbally. I want to let this person have it. I'm telling you, you're thinking that way about your boss at work, you better think twice. I'm getting ready to go and let them have it. You better ask God what you're supposed to do. I'm serious. You know I'm serious. There's certain things we need to just stop and go, God, when you feel like that, you need to say, God, man, I'm being tempted just to go off on this person. Help me. Help me not to do it. And if you've done it before, you've let your mouth fly, and you know you have a tendency to do it, usually you know when you're starting to go that way. You know, it may be that it's just a couple of times it just blindsides you. But usually something happens before, and you know, I'm going this way. And if I don't stop, I'm going to hit that wall. I know it. So the time to ask God is not when you're about here. It's when you're doing great and somebody says something and you're like, and you know, that's where I'm headed. And you want to say something to your spouse. They just said something and you're like, and you know what you want to say next. And you know if you say that, you know what they're going to say. And then you know where we're going to do. We're going to run right into that. Is this too real? We know what this is true, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we're right here. And something happens. Right now, I'm tempted. You don't have to say it out loud. Don't say, Lord, I'm tempted to say something to my spouse right now. Help. Don't say that. We do that, you might as well have said the other thing, because that's almost worse. Oh, man. I've been praying about our relationship here, and the Lord's don't do that to your spouse or somebody close to you. But no, we're here, and we're tempted. Right here, we ought to say, Lord, help me. God, help me here. Help me not to say the right. I know I want to say it, but Lord, help me. I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. You watch how the power of God is there, if you'll yield to it. Now, I'm not telling, he's not going to take your mouth and shut it. If you want to go on. But he'll yield. The peace will be there, and he'll give you the way out. He said he would. And if you'll yield to him, he'll show you. And you'll get past it. Yeah. And you'll make progress. Just say, wow. Wow. Now, I'm not saying from that then you're going to do it perfect, but I'm telling you, if he will always make a way of escape. Don't think. That may sound, we're not talking about perfection, but it'd be defeatist to say, I always have to. Like, there's sometimes I always have to hit the wall. That's not ever true. You realize that's never true?
Yes.
We always have the chance to yield to him. That we may not do it perfectly. But don't get into this defeatist, well, we're just going to always blow it. That's not true. That's not drawing on him. Now, it might be true that we'll end up not drawing on him, but don't build it in that it's inevitable. That doesn't put you in faith. Put in faith that I don't have to really ever do that again. That should be our attitude. When we get, if we mess up, say, I'm never going to do that again by the grace of God.
That's right.
I'm going to draw on him. And back here, when I first see it, see, the problem is sometimes we don't want to do that. We start going this way and we're like, they deserve it. And boom, we run towards the wall. But if we'll be humble and realize that this is where I'm at, I know me, I know what's going to happen, and Lord, in spite of what my flesh wants to do right now, I'm going to yield to you because I know that's not the best. So Lord, I'm going to you. Strengthen me and help me. Boy, the grace of God is there. It is there. And it is real. And it'll help you through real stuff. Every day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.